Hello there. Welcome to this special episode of the Go Health podcast. My name is Wendy Lloyd. I'm a team member of Go Health. Go Health, if you're not aware, is an organisation with a vision to enable churches and individual Christians to become a healing presence in the world. On our podcasts, we have conversations to inspire us all to connect health and faith in our everyday life. And on this special podcast episode, we're talking with David Pott, one of the Walks for Life Collective. In the course of the conversation, we'll let David tell you more about who Walks for Life are. And I'm particularly personally excited to be chatting with David today. He and I both share a particular passion and interest in the transformative power of pilgrimage. As well as my work with Go Health, I often guide pilgrims in Scotland, including on the Isles of Mull and Iona. And it's our shared belief in the power of pilgrimage that has me sat in the podcast host seat today, instead of Gillian, who usually hosts the podcast. And we as Go Health are really excited to be talking with David today, as we are entering into a partnership with Walks for Life. A couple of things before we get into the episode, I just wanted to bring your attention to before we jump in. David shares a couple of stories that relate to pilgrimage and mental health. One is his own story regarding depression and pilgrimage. The other is a story related to suicide. And if those themes of depression and suicide are difficult for you, then I do encourage you to take care of yourself as you listen to the episode. We'll also include the timestamps for each part of the episode, so you can perhaps choose to skip those bits that might be unhelpfully difficult. But please do seek the support that you need for yourself. David's own story is one of profound healing. It's an incredible story. And we just wanted to make clear before you listen to it that there's no suggestion by him or in this episode that going on a pilgrimage means someone could or should come off their medication that's helping their mental health without seeking medical advice and guidance on that. So I just wanted to make that clear before we begin. And with all that said, let's get on with the episode. So David, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be with you. I'm looking forward to this conversation very much.
David, you're a member of the Go Health community. And one of the things I noticed when you got in touch with me a while back was that your email signature says pilgrimage consultant.
Now, yeah, it sounds rather grand.
Doesn't it just? What's pilgrimage consultant and how does one go about getting that title?
Well, it happened, I think I had been doing, if you like, pilgrimage consultancy for quite a lot of years in different ways. But there came a time when I had been shaping up the Northern Saints trails when it was sort of important to clarify my role for the sake of other people who were involved in setting up the Northern Saints trails. So it was agreed that something should be there to describe who I was and what I did. And I was having a conversation, I think it was with Paul Butler, who was then the Bishop of Durham and who was a great encouragement to me in everything I was doing. And so he said, well, you could be the pilgrimage consultant for the Diocese of Durham. And so that's how it started on my email saying, pilgrimage consultant to the Diocese of Durham. And now that I've moved, it seemed better just to say pilgrimage consultant, because in reality, I do consult, or people consult me, about pilgrimage issues quite frequently from many, many different areas. Like yesterday, I had somebody from a church in Essex saying that they wanted to do a pilgrimage from Durham to Lindisfarne, and could I give them, you know, a help and advice for what they're doing? BBC Two pilgrimage series asked for me to help them with the recent series in the Northeast. That sort of thing happens pretty regularly. So that's what a pilgrimage consultant is. I don't know any others, but maybe there will be somewhere around the world.
I love it. Thank you. And you mentioned there the Northern Saints Trails.
Yes.
So yeah. You were involved with setting that up?
Yeah, that's right. When I first moved, Pam and I, my wife, we moved to the Northeast in 2016. And quite soon, Paul Butler, the Bishop of Durham, heard that I had set up the Two Saints Way in the Midlands between Chester and Lichfield. And he thought this could be helpful because there was a group of people already thinking about the Christian sites, perhaps the less well-known Christian sites apart from Durham and Lindisfarne in the northeast. And really, it was the tourist boards who were after it and sort of like, you know, trying to get more tourism going. And so there was a group that were discussing that. And so Bishop Paul got me in touch with that group. And I suggested about setting up pilgrimage routes to Durham, because there are many, many other places in Britain that have pilgrimage routes to them. But funnily enough, Durham only had a very short 8 mile cut his way from Chester Street, but no kind of proper long distance pilgrimage route to it. Lindisfarne had three already at that stage. And so that's what sort of set me up for devising what ended up as 6 Northern Saints Trails routes. And 4 of those sort of focus on Durham. And they come from different directions, because I was thinking, well, you know, pilgrimage sites, there wasn't, you know, people didn't come from one direction. They came from many to a place like Santiago. And so I devised the Way of Light, which was from Hexham to Durham, the Way of Life, which was from a place called Gainford on the Tees to Durham, then the Way of Love from Hartlepool to Durham, and then finally the Way of Learning from Jarrow to Durham. And those names, I was very surprised when they were accepted, because they were, many people thought it was a bit quirky. Most pilgrimage routes are called after a saint's name, or, you know, got some pilgrim word or in it, as it were. So this was a bit different. But the reason why I chose Love, Life and Light is because it's St. Cuthbert's shrine at Durham, and St. Cuthbert was very keen on John's Gospel. That was his favourite Gospel. And of course, the major themes of John's Gospel are love, life and light. And I thought, well, these are universal themes, and perhaps they would provide ideas for meditations and things on those themes. And then, of course, the Way of Learning is named after St. Bede, who was, of course, a man of great learning. And he's also, the shrine is at Durham Cathedral.
So you clearly have extensive experience, David, in terms of setting up pilgrimage routes. And as you say, those 4 quirky pilgrim routes to Durham that you had this idea around setting up. In fact, was one of them featured in the most recent BBC Two pilgrimage?
Yes, two of them. The Way of Life, they arrived at Durham Cathedral by way of the last few miles of the Way of Life. And then they used the last few miles. This is the last few miles on the Way of Light. Yeah, so two of the Northern Saints Trails featured in the recent series. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for explaining that. And as you've touched on already, you know, people often go on pilgrimage to a place that's regarded as having some significance, maybe historically or in terms of heritage. And people go on pilgrimage because the destination is regarded as having some special healing properties and healing effects. I know in conversation before and in this conversation, David, that we've shared a sense of how pilgrimage itself is healing, not just the destination being significant. Is that something that you've experienced in your own life? How did you get into pilgrimage and I guess identifying not only as a pilgrimage consultant, but being a pilgrim?
Yeah, the first pilgrimage route that I actually walked was with a bunch of teachers, or who were students, actually. It was a course in Christian Perspectives and Education. And most of the course had kind of, you know, sort of normal, if you like, lecture sessions in a classroom. But I thought, well, Jesus taught a lot on the hoof while he was walking. So perhaps we ought to have a pilgrimage and try to kind of get to grips with how Jesus did his teaching in this way. And so we had a week of walking from Southwark to Canterbury. It was an amazing experience, and the students in their assessment of the course afterwards said that was the best week, you know, not in any of the classrooms, but the walking, the pilgrimage, and what they learned. And so I could see there was something special about it at that time. And then I went on a very long pilgrimage on my own in 1997 when I walked 680 miles from Iona to Canterbury, and that was really shaped me in terms of the significance of it, you know, how amazing pilgrimage is and the experience of that. But I'll just give you one instance where I saw the power of pilgrimage. This must be in my late 40s, I think. And there was a time when I was getting rather depressed. And just occasionally, this sort of sweeping depression would come across me. It was almost like I could feel it coming. And this time, it was particularly severe. And I went to the doctor, and I was prescribed antidepressants for the first time. But I had a meeting in Lichfield in 2 days' time. And I thought, I don't want to start these because I want to be clear and concise at this meeting. And so I decided, I sort of felt, oh, I think I should walk across Cannock Chase on the Two Saints Way, which I had created, actually. And so I walked across Cannock Chase from near Stafford to near Lichfield. And I stayed in the little hermitage about 3 miles short of Lichfield. And somehow, during that walk and the quiet night in the hermitage, everything cleared, and I never used those antidepressants at all. And so I experienced just healing it, you know, on that one day pilgrimage, basically. I always say, solvit ambulando is one of my favorite quotes of Augustine. It is solved by walking. So my issue was solved by walking and healed. And then I've just seen it so much in different people's lives. And the pilgrimage series is so fascinating on BBC Two because, you know, invariably they experience some forms of healing. They all feel it's been significant, transformative in some way. I think it's something to do with intention, that somehow going on a pilgrimage very often encourages people to be a bit intentional about it. I'm going because I want to reflect on what's happened after you know, my son died tragically, or my marriage is broken up, or something like that. And so, in a sense, people are seeking healing, perhaps in different ways to how it would be. And obviously, very often, people are going to Lourdes, it's a physical healing that they're particularly after. But when most people are going on a pilgrimage nowadays, like going to Santiago, very often they go with some kind of intentional, you know, I need time to think about things and try and reorientate my life, etc. So yeah,
absolutely.
Healing is very significant in pilgrimage, I believe.
You're reminding me of, I did one of the Camino de Santiago's over 10 years ago now, but I'll never forget, as you come into Santiago where it gets really urban and, you know, you're on, walking under a motorway flyover, but there on the wall, the graffiti of people just pouring out what it was they were walking for, you know, bereavement and, you know, recovery from ill health, and just this outpouring of celebration and of grief and of, so there was something even in that urban, what I would describe, I guess, as an urban jungle, that was hugely significant. And I suppose that's an important thing to acknowledge. You know, pilgrimage isn't just in the wild, beautiful, aesthetic green outdoors, that there's a space and place for urban pilgrimage as well. Would you
definitely
relate to
that? And the routes that I've created do quite often go through, you know, industrial and city areas, like the centre of the Two Saints Way is Stoke-on-Trent. And it's fascinating. And there's a lot that's actually very attractive about the canals and everything. But so cities are really special, I think, and it's sort of realistic to include them. And to have sort of maybe slightly boring sections through sort of modern housing estates. It's just reality, and that's it. That's important, I think. Pilgrimage is about reflecting life, and very often that's perhaps how people see it, because pilgrimage has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and our lives also have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, indeed, you know, so I think it's the same it's sort of very helpful to see it that way.
Thank you. Absolutely, David. And that leads me on really nicely to my next question around your own life. And you haven't marked a milestone birthday recently. We're recording this just on the threshold of you've already had the birthday, but you're marking that milestone birthday by undertaking a pilgrimage. Do you want to share something about where you'll be this time next week?
I have just passed my 80th birthday. And you know, just I like milestones and everything. I think, yeah, 80, wow, this is great. Let's see, what should we do? And obviously, walking has been such a huge part of my life, so it's not really surprising that I want to do a significant pilgrimage. The interesting thing is that I realized that actually the last time I did a long solo pilgrimage was that 680-mile one way back in 97 when I was a spring chick. 51 or whatever. And I've led so many pilgrimages with other people, and then I've been, it's like working, like with the Northern Saints Trails, I did a lot of walking and working on my own, because I was sort of devising routes and thinking, is this the best way? No, I think I better use the other way, and that sort of thing. So that doesn't really count. And so you know, this is really special for me. So I think the first purpose for me, as far as this is concerned, was in a way to set myself up for my antiquity, if I can use that phrase, and say, right, here we are. This is, in some ways, you might think of it that from now on, it's like my final chapter, which might be very long or maybe very short. But either way, I wanted to really count. So my sort of thinking initially with the pilgrimage was a time to walk with God, reflect, and see what I'm sort of hearing in terms of any adjustments to my life's direction and in the coming years. I start the pilgrimage. I take the train up to Chester on Sunday night, and then on the Monday morning, I start from Basingworth Abbey, which is a former Cistercian abbey, and past Holywell, one of the Seven Wonders of Wales. And so I begin, and so we're on Tuesday, so I will be setting out my second day of the pilgrimage this time next week.
And it's the Pilgrim's Way in North Wales?
Yes, North Wales Pilgrim's Way, which is sometimes called the Welsh Camino. The Pope apparently said, if you do three pilgrimages from Chester to Bardsey Island, or Innis Enthly, which is the sort of holy island at the end of the Clwyd Peninsula, that counts for one pilgrimage to Rome. So
there we
people
go.
Would do that in the medieval times and say, oh, I can't manage to get to Rome, but I'll do three trips to the holy island of Bardsey. It's a revived ancient pilgrimage route.
And how long is it? And how many days do you expect to do it?
138 miles, and so I'm doing it in 10 days. I'm sort of walking between about 11 and 15 miles each day. On my other one, I was doing up to 30 miles a day when I was a spring chicken, but I'm trying to be sensible and keep it a moderate amount. I've been doing some day training, so I've done up to 15 miles the other day. I'm feeling ready. You never quite know what you'll encounter. It's different doing 15 miles long distances once a week. It's obviously different when you're doing those kind of distances every day.
Fantastic. Well, obviously we'll be thinking of you as you go on that pilgrimage, David. And as well as marking your milestone birthday and preparing yourself for what you regard as the last chapter or the last years, however many there are, and we hope there are many. Is there another reason that you're undertaking this pilgrimage at this moment?
Yes indeed, because what happened is that this project of Walks for Life had been sort of developing in the previous year. So we'll talk a bit more about that, how that came to be in a moment. I thought, I know this pilgrimage, the important thing is, first of all, that it's for me to reassess and time with God, etc. But also I thought, Walks for Life, I really want to see it sort of getting really underway, getting started properly. And I thought, this could be a great opportunity. After all, I know an awful lot of people and who might well support the idea of supporting Walks for Life. So I thought, yes, that would be great. But then I thought as well, I wouldn't want to do something where things were coming into my own account. And I felt for Walks for Life to really get started properly, I think we need a partner. And so I just sent out 3 emails to different people, all of whom responded positively. But Go Health in particular responded so quickly and warmly. So I'm just so thankful for the fact that I felt when I came here to the Midlands that it'd be good to join Go Health. Some various people told me. So I'm really glad that I connected. And it just has felt like a good fit, because obviously the whole emphasis on pilgrimage for health in body, mind and soul links so perfectly with Go Health, and the emphasis in Go Health on holistic health and well-being, you know, aligns completely with what Walks for Life is about.
And so the pilgrimage is to raise support Walks for Life.
That's right. So basically, with Walks for Life, I think one of the first things that would be great would be if someone younger than me could give some time to it in terms of sort of coordinating things. And then there's a whole load of other things that need resourcing, like putting meditation resources together and how that would be done, and just basically setting up more pilgrimages. And obviously we want them to be for people who would not be able to afford a lot of money to, so we need funds to be able to support those who desperately need pilgrimage and you know, whose lives I believe can be transformed through going on pilgrimage.
And I think that leads us really, really well, David, into talking about what is Walks for Life.
So to begin with, about 3 years ago, a few of us, by that I'm talking about 4 or 5 people, began to be thinking, we were aware of this rising crisis in terms of mental health of the nation. So I was becoming kind of more aware of that. And and thinking about pilgrimage and healing, and so I was starting to think with these other friends about the routes, especially those 4 routes to Durham, and thinking that they could apply to mental health conditions. So the Way of Light would be a good route for people to walk who are in the darkness of depression. So I was thinking, you know, perhaps we could shape up meditations on the theme of light and coming out of darkness into light. And then obviously a lot of people have said about that the mental health crisis is a crisis of meaning. People don't know, you know, about meaningful life and perhaps the way of life, what's my life all about? And I was thinking maybe even suicide prevention, but if people are feeling life has no meaning and they want to take their own lives, etc. Perhaps if they knew that they could walk with others and try to think about what life's for, etc., then that would be great. So we were starting to think like that. And then something happened which sort of accelerated it from being something I really think it would be a good idea to explore further to something that I just felt I got to do it. Well, what happened was that this was in January of last year. I was walking on the Way of Life through a wood called Belburn Wood, and I came across a person who was putting rocks into a ford across the stream, the Belburn stream, to make it easier for people walking. And I engaged him in conversation. I said, "This is fantastic. I'm so pleased to see that you're doing this, because I'm the person who created the Northern Saints Trails, including this one, the Way of Life." And he knew, because he knew about the Northern Saints Trail, so he was very interested to meet me. And I was then thinking that, well, a few months' time I should be leaving this area. Here's a good person to kind of look after this stretch, because on the Northern Saints Trails I'd appointed local coordinators, And I was the coordinator for the section year. And so I said, would you be interested in possibly taking over from me when I leave? And he said, sure. So I took his email. Then we talked a bit more about the purposes of the walks. And I mentioned this about the way of life, you know, about mental health conditions, and that this would be great, perhaps for people who are recovering after someone in their family perhaps had taken their own lives, or preventing, you know, as I've just said. And so I was talking about that with this person. So then about a week later, I emailed all the coordinators, including this person. And he then replied immediately. And he said, David, the most extraordinary thing has happened. He said, 2 days after I met you, my son, Joshua, who was 18, didn't come down in the morning that morning for breakfast. And I was a bit puzzled about it. And so I went upstairs to his room and I knocked on the door. There was no reply. So I opened the door and I was faced with him having taken his own life. He'd hung himself. And, you know, obviously hearing him, about this just obviously impacted me. And you just couldn't imagine the shock and the trauma that he experienced seeing his own son in that way. And I started to walk with him and spend time with him, deeply traumatized. And then the next significant thing, you know, why did Joshua do this? That was his name, Joshua. And then on another occasion, this was in March, I met him again. And he said, David, it's amazing that I've met you today. He said, I can't believe that I've met you today. He said, because yesterday I remembered my son's password on his mobile phone. And I went into his mobile phone and discovered that he was a victim of sextortion, that he had posted stupid naked photos of himself. And he had paid £5,000 to the scammers, etc. And he was being threatened with more. And obviously he was too ashamed to tell his parents, and that is clearly why he'd taken his own life. And so he then took the mobile phone to the police. He'd done that before. I met him about 11, and he'd taken the mobile phone to the police at 9 o'clock, and he was very distressed to discover that the police said that, yes, your son came to us, and they found a record that he'd come to them in November. And said that he was being threatened and blackmailed. And so they had logged it in their books, but not apparently done anything very much. So, very, very distressing, obviously, for the rest of the family as well. And at the same time, the adolescent series was going on. And that was impacting me. So it was like a double impact.
There was like two or three episodes of a very powerful series on Netflix, I think it was.
That's
called
right.
Adolescence.
It was all about the manosphere and about how vulnerable young people are online. In fact, what impacted me was just thinking, the bedroom should be the safest place for people, but it's now become a most unsafe place for young people. How dreadful that is. And so, in fact, that afternoon, so I met him in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I just wrote down the ideas for Walks for Life, sort of in a passion, basically. So that was it. And then a very strange thing happened a few days after that. I was in my office and I was actually kneeling down to go and fetch something in a cupboard, and a collared dove, I'm a keen bird watcher, so I knew what kind of bird it was, came and fluttered outside the window, and it just looked at me And, you know, I couldn't believe it. It's probably no more than about 5 or 6 seconds, but it was just fluttering like that in, you know, in the window and looking at me. And it just seemed such a bizarre, extraordinary experience, but I just felt like a tap on the shoulder saying, this is what you've got. This is your commission for the, you know, for your main calling from now on. So that, in a sense, sealed it. So basically, since then, a group of other people, like a collective, a Walks for Life collective, if you like, have gathered. And they're people from all sorts of different walks of life. There are people in the NHS. There's a person who trains teachers to be reps in their schools in terms of mental health and well-being. There are three people who are in the arts, interestingly enough, a couple of singers and an artist, and people now like yourself who are in charities that have got something in connection with mental health issues. And so basically we meet online from time to time and see how we're doing. And different people are doing different things and initiating pilgrimages, some very short, like there's been some in Bishop Auckland for carers, sort of based on some of the principles of Walks for Life. So, yeah, that's sort of how it's come about. Really. Yeah.
Thank you, David. That's a really powerful story. And it sounds like it really took what was an idea, at least in principle already, to the next level, and your sense of passion and vocation around it, as well as clearly this collective of people, really took on flesh and bone and momentum in a way that that wouldn't have otherwise. And you're still in touch with Josh's father?
With him only yesterday, actually. He's passionately sharing the story. And he's nearly raised $10,000 for a charity called If You Care, Share, which is a suicide prevention charity.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, and it's a very difficult and tender story. And so we're incredibly grateful. I know that you got permission from Josh's father to share that and to name Joshua as well. And, you know, from all of that tragedy, if anything can come that's positive, and clearly his father has done so much already.
He's wanting to save lives. And I think that you know, we feel on the same page, because I also believe that we can save lives through Walks for Life and organising these pilgrimages.
And I'm interested in the name, David. Obviously, Walks for Life, and there's the Way of Life as one of the Northern Saints trails. And you talked earlier about pilgrimage and intention. So was there ever in your imagination that it might be pilgrimage for life? You know, that distinction between what makes a walk and walk a pilgrimage? Is there something particular to the mental health crisis that pilgrimage has to offer as well as walking?
If you go on a walk like Hadrian's Wall or you know, Cotswold Way or something like that, that's great, and it can be excellent for your mental health, etc. as well. But it's this extra dimension, which I think is so evident, like on the pilgrimage series, that people are talking about things, big issues of life, in a way which seems to be sort of amplified because it's pilgrimage. And so the whole issues of meaning, etc. And so with the four of Walks for Life, initially that was around the concept of the four routes to Durham, but now it's perhaps more strongly in relation to what we've identified as four things which are essential for good mental health. And they all begin with C. So the first one is creation. You know, that's kind of universally recognized that time outdoors is just critical for good mental health. A lot of people who are struggling with issues are sat inside, even with the curtains drawn very often on a nice day. And, you know, so outdoors is critical. And then secondly, community. And by that we mean about relationships. And again, isolation, not talking about issues, is no good. People need relationships. And in a way, community can also relate to place, to a sense of place. And a lot of people feel so dislocated nowadays. And so that, in a sense, comes into that community package as well. And then the third one is creativity. I believe that it's interesting how we've got these creatives with us in the Walks for Life collective. But I believe that because we're created in the image of a creator God, creativity, we're created to be creative in some way. And that might not be in the, you know, sort of being a painter or a poet or something. It could be in all sorts of ways, obviously, cooking and all sorts. So what we want to encourage on the pilgrimages is to just encourage people to think about creativity and perhaps to begin to engage in it in different ways. So sometimes on our pilgrimages, we've had like creative activities. Like I remember one autumn day where we all gathered leaves and we made sort of shapes into a central point. And it was just beautiful how this collaborative, if you like, creative act just blessed everybody. And then the final one is creator. That is about the whole aspect of life being more than just I want to be happy. So often people say, I just want to be happy, etc. But, we need something bigger than just something that's self-referential. I think very sadly in our society, there's a lot of talk about the self and developing the self. And that's good as far as it goes. But when it just becomes all about you and your pleasure and it's forgetting that actually the purpose of life is to love. To look outwards and think about others and about God, we believe. So that's why creator is just the last one. And in a sense, that probably is again the thing that makes the difference with pilgrimage. That's the extra dimension. And I think in the Bible, you have actually a lot of very good examples. Jesus himself, just cite that, because you think, well, Jesus was such an outdoors person. He was the rabbi who said, follow me, which the Greek word for follow means to be in the same path with. So basically, he's the rabbi who says, get your backpack on and follow me and outdoors. And so much of his great teaching and everything, Sermon on the Mount, etc., is all outdoors. He's got that one in place. And then, of course, community. He's so incredible about relationships. He is forming a new family, and he has, some deep friendships, closer relationships with some than others. He's outgoing. He's a community. And then creativity. Well, he was a technon in the Greek, which means sort of a builder who could be or a carpenter working in wood and stone. And of course, his parables, his storytelling are incredibly creative. And then creator, he's relating always to God. He's a perfect example of someone who exhibits all those mental health principles. Yeah.
Amazing. And of course, as the Christians, the first generation of Christians were known as the people of the way.
The way, yeah.
And we follow in that way to this day as disciples. Mm. And so there's something even in our own identity as people of faith that we are also, as you talked about earlier, on pilgrimage, the pilgrimage of life and that's the pilgrimage of noticing in everyday life where... Yeah. God's presence can be noticed. There's a real invitation there, I think, for us all as we contemplate whether we're walking an actual pilgrim's way or reflecting on the pilgrimage of life.
Yeah.
That intention is accessible to us all, whether we're physically in a position where we can take or financially even in the position to take the time and expense it is to go on a physical walking pilgrimage.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And thank you, David, for that that connection that you've made for us around those four C's, those particular elements that enable good mental health and that can be facilitated through going on pilgrimage. And in terms of the vision for Walks for Life, you know, you've talked about the Northern Saints trails. Do you see this happening in a particular area, or is the Walks for Life vision for all pilgrimage routes to be?
You know, in a way, it's been pioneered in the Northeast, but there are now many others in different parts of the country who are sort of picking up on it. And that's what I would hope. I think that it's very important for churches to think about the mental health issue, indeed all health issues. I mean, wouldn't it be great if churches became like health providers through doing things like running Walks for Life pilgrimages? And that's what I'd love to see. You know, I'm just thinking that there's been such a multiplication of pilgrimage routes all around the country, so it's very likely to whoever is watching this that you'll have a pilgrimage route somewhere near. And that could be a sort of like a possibility for arranging something, you know, at Walks for Life. And there are other things that could be done. For example, if you have a river near you, especially if you don't live too far from the sea, it would be great to do a river pilgrimage, because that can reflect light. You know, a river has a source and it flows to the sea to merge into the sea. And that's so much like our own lives. There is a person I know who organized last year a river pilgrimage along the River Medway. And so I think that's another kind of possibility.
We mentioned that this is a partnership with Go Health. Go Health was positive and receptive to your proposal when you sent it out. And you've touched on some of the reasons why. How do you feel like Go Health in particular would enable Walks for Life to come to life?
Well, I think, you know, Go Health has 100 years of experience and people thinking and reflecting on health in the broadest sense of that. And I just believe that this partnership has a great deal of potential, not least because of your enthusiasm and Gillian's enthusiasm. And I know that there'll be many others within Go Health who've got something to contribute to this. And I'm just excited because I think Go Health is the right. I've just had such a peace in my heart about it. It's wonderful. I'm just so thankful. So, yeah. So the link with Go Health is a good birthday present for me. It was definitely.
Oh, wonderful. And it was wonderful to get that email on your actual birthday. We are delighted to take this opportunity to collaborate with you and Walks for Life. As you mentioned, this is very much in the heartbeat of Go Health, that holistic fullness of life that we will wish and pray for everyone, flourishing individuals that make up flourishing communities. So it very much puts flesh onto our existing work. It makes it embodied as we explore this with you. We're excited to see how it will develop and go forward. So David, you're less than a week now from your setting off on your pilgrimage. Yeah. How might we best pray with and for you as you journey on your pilgrimage?
Yes, I think to pray that my pretty good health will maintain. You know, it's quite easy for things to derail you on pilgrimages and for difficulties to arise. And you know, I'm ready for that possibility. But naturally, I'm keen to be able, whatever happens, to complete this. Praying for. I'm glad, actually, that the weather has turned a bit, and it looks like I'm not going to be suffering from an excessive heat wave in the next fortnight or so. There are signs that by the end, when I reach the Fleen Peninsula, perhaps by that time, I might be getting pretty warm again. I'm thankful for that. I just feel that, it's important to encourage as much prayer as possible for Walks for Life. And to that end, I'm actually preparing a prayer diary right now. And also, I think I just want to be a blessing to everybody I meet. You know, I don't want to miss anything that, because so often it's sort of people you meet that that are often key and teach you things, etc. And so I'm looking, in a sense, to see whether there might be other things that I need to learn for Walks for Life, that perhaps the experiences that I go through, maybe I'll gain some fresh insights. That's something to pray for, that perhaps there will be fresh insights as far as Walks for Life are concerned.
Beautiful. Yeah. And we'll be praying with you. We'll be following your journey. As you and I discussed before we hit record, you plan to post a photograph each day of your journey. Yeah. And we'll certainly share that to the Go Health social media channels as well. And we'll be with you in prayer and with you as we watch those images that summarize your day somehow. Yeah. And we'll put links to that and to where people can follow along on our on the website with this recording. So David, thank you so much for being on our podcast. We wish you so much support and care and love and prayer as you set out on your pilgrimage. And we really do hope and pray that it is for you a really significant personal journey, and that through this, as you have yourself said, that so many lives will be touched through the work of the Walks for Life vision. And we look forward to taking this project forward with you as Go Health. So buen camino. Thank you so much.
Bless you, Wendy. Thank you. And thank you, Go Health, as well. I'm so grateful.